Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a league of nations among other internet radio talk stations, voices of the people, united we roar. Today is March 17th, 2008, and now from 4:30 to 5 at their new time, Dr. Barbara Becker Hosting presents Kids, Tweens, and Teens, a positive psychologist looks at all three, and her host, co-host, Martha Trowbridge. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon, and welcome to my new show, Teens, Tweens, and Kids. I guess I got it backwards this time, but we're going to get it straight, Kids, Teens, and Tweens. And I'm Dr. Barbara Becker Holstein, positive psychologist, and...
Hi, it's Martha Trowbridge. Good afternoon, Barbara and Lillian.
Good afternoon, and I'm so delighted that Martha is going to be with me as my co-host today. She can't always be with me in the future because Martha's doing so many things tied into her specialties around women. And so at times I am forced to navigate the seas of life by myself.
But it will be so much fun, Barbara.
But I am a grown-up and I can do it. So today... What we're going to do is finish talking about the seven gateways to happiness as they affect kids, teens, and tweens. Now, we've already done one show on this at the old time on Friday afternoons, 2 to 2:30, and it's an archive show. So we can't fully go through as extensively all of the gateways that we started, but fortunately we hadn't finished. So let me quickly open the first gateway and get us up to speed. So we were talking about the seven gateways to happiness, which I originally developed for women, and sure enough, they have a great deal to offer us looking at kids, tweens, and teens. So briefly, Martha and I were talking about the first gateway, which is recognizing your talents, your potential, your strengths, and holding all of these things close to your heart. Well, that is something that kids are pretty good at, particularly we're talking now about girls. And girls, particularly around the ages of 8 to 11, know what they're very good at. They know their talents. They know their strengths. They know what they're good at coping at. They know that what their potential is. And they're in great shape. It's not quite the same once they're a tween. Actually, this is the category that's often referred to as tweens. It's not always the same as they become a teen. And we'll go back in future shows and discuss more clearly some of the things that happen in the teenage ages. But this is a good gateway for tweens. The tween, right. Go ahead, Martha.
And Barbara, I was thinking as you were speaking that so many wonderful things happen to you throughout your life that you can look back and find the roots of through that first gateway. I know there are so many things I enjoy and many of my dear friends that became, we recognized as being our passions when we were very young.
Absolutely, and I think for me, I remember standing on the playground as clear as if it's yesterday, expect to walk up to the mirror and see the 9-year-old girl in the mirror. And I remember saying to myself, I'm in fourth grade now, and my mind just seems to be working so much more clearer, and I understand things so much more. I know I am in a different place than when I was in first, second, and third grades. And I loved it. I felt some real momentous change had happened in my cognitive functioning.
And it gave
me pleasure. And one of the things that I held on to this day from those days, from 9 to 11, was keeping a diary. So I don't think it's too much of a leap that the girl, the main protagonist in my new book, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, uses her diary as the main means of developing the plot.
And it's as dear to you today as it was when you were a girl, I'm sure.
Yes, although I have absolutely no interest today in keeping a daily diary.
Well, I wish you would, because I'd love to read it.
Well, my blog is the closest thing, and I try to at least put on the blog words of wisdom that come into the from the universe to my life and stuff like that.
But what about your secret love, Barbara? That's what I want to read about.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, yours too. You know, we're both girls at heart, I'm
sure.
We sure.
Yes.
There's plenty to talk about. In fact, let me use that to slide into the second gateway. Well, what's closest to our hearts, you know, there's a saying going around that when you're born, you're given your very best love of your whole life, and that, you know, everybody sort of wonders, well, what is it? No, it wouldn't really be my mother, would it? And then, the thing going around is yourself,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So the second gateway is actually falling in love with yourself, really appreciating your story in the context of which you have had to live, because nobody gets a free ride, and kids don't either, and teens don't. You know, we're set up in all sorts of complicated circumstances, and they're probably generational circumstances. And, you know, we're trying to make the best of things and still have an authentic self and self-will and so on. It's not the easiest thing.
No, I think it's the responsibility of adults to help children really love themselves. And that's not really stated anywhere clearly, and it's so important.
It is so important, and I'm thinking about one woman who heard about my book, and she read it, and she said it's what the girl said about how she was affected by relatives like a cousin who swears too much and parents when they're fighting. It made her realize that she has an effect on people that are her relatives, cousins, nieces, nephews, her own children. And she lost perspective. You know, after a while, you're so busy just surviving, you forget how important you are.
Yes, and what your impact is on those around you, you can very easily forget that in your day-to-day life.
It's absolutely true. It really is. And sometimes when I'm down, I don't think I have much, what's the big deal about myself? I mean, everybody struggles with that sort of negative perspective that comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right. If we can help kids and tweens and teens see how valuable they are within the school, within the home, within the neighborhood, it's very, very, very helpful. It'll stay with them all their lives.
Mm-hmm. So the third gateway, so I want to make sure we can get through all seven
go ahead.
Today.
Keep me moving.
Okay, number three.
Learning to meet our needs and how to negotiate for ourselves. And kids certainly know what their needs are better than adults, because everything is less disguised, it's fresher, and it's closer to the surface. But they very often don't know how to negotiate and find ways to get their needs met, particularly if they live in difficult families.
Right, that's so true.
So we have to help them again. You know,
and do you have any advice for young women in this category, how they might be able to sort of go around difficult circumstances?
Well, you've got to
manage.
You've got to get mentors outside of the household.
And when you say mentors, you mean for younger people listening today, you mean?
I mean a neighbor who's really a good person, who maybe you go over and, you know, you cook together in her kitchen now and then. It can be a teacher that takes an interest in you, that helps you to get piano lessons that your parents are willing to follow through on, that maybe are with a young teacher who's charging much less, or, you know, whatever the circumstances. It doesn't mean a formal mentor like we think of coaching, where you pay someone by the hour. I'm talking about people, animals, situations in life that will go beyond your family circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And help create the necessary balance you may need.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I had on a guest, Sandra Clark, I think Clark is her last name, who is 18 and has written some books for kids on how to volunteer and stuff. And she has some wonderful ideas of the smallest things that kids can do to get themselves out of themselves. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Keep going. Well,
I'm here. Was there a bleep?
Yes, there was.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And, you know, in this magical yet frustrating world of dealing on the telephone, I wanted to make sure someone was still there. And I know Lillian, who produced...
I had to mute because I have two cats who get into mischief when I'm not, and the one who gets the littler one just started chasing the big one, so I had to go downstairs to keep them apart so you wouldn't hear a cat bite.
Okay.
So I put the mute on. I'm sorry.
Anyway, very often, you know, animals often serve as the best mentors for
kids. Oh, they are.
You know, for all of us, the kid and all of us, but sometimes a kid can get the love that she needs from a cat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I use the opportunity. Anyway, the next gateway to happiness for kids, tweens, and teens is learning how to replenish and have fun. Now, most kids...
Barbara, why don't you define replenish? That's a big word for a younger person.
Well, that means filling back up after you're tired and you feel empty, you feel drained, you feel worn out, you feel overused. Finding some way to have fun or enough rest, enough good nourishment, whether it's food or activities, so that you feel you can get going again.
Or maybe even taking a quick nap if you've done a lot of athletic things that day and you still have your homework to do ahead of you.
Maybe absolutely.
Just a little cat nap.
Now, most kids, tweens, and teens are more fun-loving than we are. They're less disguised. They're more on the surface. They just laugh hysterically and they roll around in the dirt. I saw three 10-year-olds yesterday in my neighborhood. They seem to be torturing each other, you know, pulling each other down in the grass and stuff. I actually interceded like a good citizen to see if they were fine, and they're laughing hysterically. They're having fun.
Oh.
You know, and it's there. But Martha, you're cueing into the problem, and that is that so many kids, tweens, and teens are exhausted.
Oh, they sure are. First of all, the opportunities there are endless, which can create a problem. And second of all, many parents expect too much of their kids. They're from the time they're born, they're worried about them getting into Harvard kind of thing, and they just want them trained across so many different disciplines, and it gets to be yay, yay, yay after a while.
Yeah, they never rest, you know, and they're eating on the run, and the mother's picking them up to take them to the next thing, and then they have to shower and do the homework and study for the test. And it's very rigorous to the point where I often have young people as clients that are struggling with burnout and anxiety and mild depression, and it is because they're not having enough just kid time, empty
downtime.
Downtime.
And even if these things are presented as happy things to be doing, there is a hidden stress value to them because everyone is always watching the clock, which is just very sad.
It is. You know, it's not good to just always have to watch the clock. It doesn't put us in the present. So, but we're watching the clock now, unfortunately. So the next gateway to happiness for kids, tweens, and teens is finding mentors and being a mentor. Now, we already discussed a little bit them finding a mentor, but kids don't often realize that they are also can act as mentors. That means, say, handling a younger kid with decency and nice language and trying to be helpful. It might mean helping a kid learn to read that's younger than you or some actual babysitting or something you're doing. But you might also be mentoring, who knows, you might be helping out a grandmother by carrying the groceries in, you know, a particular lady who lives on your block and you're doing a good deed and you're also chatting and sharing your life and she's sharing her life. So kids to just understand what they have to offer, even when they're young.
Right, and you know, even if it's as simple as making it a daily habit to say something kind to someone around you.
Oh, yes.
To take notice
Wonderful.
Of another child at school who's lonely, or, as you were saying, someone in the family who may be having trouble, a sibling or a parent or whomever. You know, many children and young people today have parents who are in crisis of one sort or another, and especially today, the financial stress on parents is absolutely over the top. And just being kind to your mom or your dad when you see that things are stressful for them can be such a blessing for the other person.
Yes, it really is a blessing. And it'll keep away the depression and a lot of the dysfunctional sadness that can hit a family. A lot of that can be overcome by people actually being nice to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of it, you know, but a lot of it. And that brings me to Gateway 6 for happiness, which is tied into staying connected and not isolating. Now, for women, this is an absolutely major gateway because we do tend to isolate and go into depressive modes when things are not right for us. It's one of our styles. For kids, tweens, and teens, I don't know if it's as predominant a style, but still, they can withdraw in other ways, like being in a bad mood or always having a snide remark or something. And in essence, they're distancing themselves, so they don't get as much fun out of life, people don't like them as much, et cetera.
Yes, Barbara, and also getting to an age where you start distrusting, which is a very difficult thing to negotiate. When you get to an age and you see that there are other girls or boys at school who are not very nice people, you could develop or put up kind of a guard against friendships with other people you don't know because you're fearful of being hurt. And that's something that's a real challenge, is to learn how to relate while protecting yourself until you make sure that other young person is a trustworthy friend.
That's yes, how important that is. And particularly, I guess, that gets heightened by the fear of bodily harm, that the sexual arena is becoming legitimate, while in childhood it isn't. And
betrayal, you know, I was just thinking of that, the whole betrayal by a girlfriend or a male friend over a relationship. For instance, you could be interested in another boy or dating somebody, and then you find out your best girlfriend or another girl you know is starting to compete for his affection, and that can be one of the most devastating experiences of your life.
I still remember this gal, she went off with my current boyfriend, and they were necking somewhere, and, she had claimed to be my friend, and it was all so acutely painful.
Oh, dear.
Now, the boy, I was angry at, but not nearly as violently angry as at the girl, which speaks probably volumes to.
Well, was he two-timing, this scoundrel?
I remember my rage and hurt toward the girl, that somehow I trusted her confidence in a way that was different than from the fellow. I don't know. You know, I think there's a lot of societal things, all sorts of things mixed in there. But anyway, you're absolutely right. So all of these issues, kids need help, they need advice, they need parents that they can stay honest with, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last gateway for happiness for kids, tweens, and teens is positive deeds and positive action. It's the same gateway as for adults. And again, most kids and tweens, and I'd say even teens, want to be true to their inner voice, their soul, their sense of what is right and wrong. However, again, they have family pressures without maybe having the privilege of their own career, their own home, their own decision-making. So sometimes they're caught in various pressure cookers, and it's hard to do what's right.
Yes, and it can be.
Yeah, and that puts pain into the person, because when we're not living authentically and we're not sort of lined up mind, body, and spirit, we're in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, everything that adults can do to help kids grow up as pure people will be very appreciated by the kids, the tweens and teens, by our planet, by our governments, and the way the next generation handles war, peace, everything. You know,
and it goes very much to the core of how you feel about yourself, too. When you feel good about yourself, it's nothing like that. When you've done a good deed, it just permeates your whole sense of self. It's fabulous.
Yes, it is. It is a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
Well, when I think of that, Barbara, you may have seen the classic Jimmy Stewart movie, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes, seen it and cried to it, of course.
You know, he's just feeling so awful about himself and so despondent, and he's worked so hard and everything seems to be crumbling around, and he feels he should just end his life. And then the angel comes and shows him all the lives he's touched and what a difference the world would have been without him. So there's a great example of someone who's done enormous good in his life and just really wasn't even aware of it.
Right. Which kind of brings us back again to, why is this program diverting off of women to kids, tweens, and teens?
Oh, I thought you were going to say to men.
No. No, it isn't diverting to men at this point. I still am focusing my research and also my books. And, of course, many of my clients are women. I'm a woman. So there is a kind of leaning that I do, a slant that I do, toward watching females develop. But that is just because you have to make certain decisions. You can't cover everything at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I diverted, I think, very much because of the development of this book. And for those of you who may not know this, Martha and I worked on another version of The Truth, I think we're back 3 or 4 years ago.
I think so.
Yeah, and it became a very powerful thing for me that I realized that bringing forth a girl and her inner life and her realizations of what is right with the world and what isn't right, and having her in conversation, originally she was going to be in conversation with myself as a psychologist, but she evolved and went into conversation with herself basically through the diary. And
she really just stepped out, didn't she?
She did step out, and she became just more and more insistent on what she had to say.
Which is great.
And it's interesting because there are actually now 2 editions of The Truth out. And those of you who would like the original edition, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, please go to Amazon or my website, Enchanted Self, or any bookstore and order it. It has an introduction and questions and some pages in it just for women, while the girls' edition has an introduction, pages, and questions just for girls. And the names are just slightly different. One is I'm 10 and the other one is I'm a girl. But this girl has just mobilized me back to my days of school teaching and being a school psychologist, and I think it's important that we start to emphasize more the development of girls and let women kind of fly on their own just a little bit on the radio show. So that's where we're at. And Martha will be with me periodically. There'll be other guests. And let's see what we can do in bringing to life kids, tweens, and teens for the betterment of themselves and their parents and everyone else. And
and we're going to have some fun, Barbara.
That's right. We're going to have fun.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. I love that. And I think our time is up. I actually have a feeling there may be a show at 5, so we may be more restricted than at the other half hour. So I'm just going to let Martha tell people how to find you.
Oh, thank you. I'm Martha Trowbridge. My website is www.marthatrowbridge, that's MarthaTrowbridge.org, and I write inspiration for women who are in crisis, and by that I mean women who are suffering in some way through depression or trauma or what have you. And thanks so much for listening. I wish you all wonderful lives.
And I'm Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. You can find me at EnchantedSelf, that's oneword.com. And I have the books I've been talking about. And I might be crazy, but right now I am offering for anyone that writes to me that they have bought a copy of The Truth, whether it's the adult version or the kids version. Tell me where you bought it, when. Give me a little information so I know you just didn't make it up. Give me your mailing address, and I will send you a Truth necklace that you will love. It's adorable. You can go on my site, Enchant Itself, and see what they look like. Every one is a little different because they're made by Cindy Trope, an artist. And so I'm throwing out this potential gift for you to the universe. Get yourself a book, and you'll have a necklace. Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you again on the airways next Monday. Bye for now.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You've just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and Martha Trowbridge. And if you want to hear them all over again, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. On the left-hand side of the page, you'll see the word archives. Click on that, scroll down the page. You'll find some names on the page. Find Barbara Becker's on them, and you should see the audio there within an hour or two. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard, PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And Cesar Pavese, This Business of Living, Diaries 1935 to 1950, said, "The richness of life lies in memories we have forgotten." Thank you very much for listening. Our next program begins at 8 o'clock tonight with Janet Elaine Smith and Marketing for Fun and Profit, sponsored by Star Publish. Check them out, http://starpublishllc.com. Tonight's program, The Screaming Woman, will not be heard. The talk show host, Toni Quest, her husband passed away this weekend due to cancer. So she will return with us next Monday evening, and we will be rerunning a program that was recorded on February 25th. Following the recorded program, we then move on to Tom Zart, Soldier of the Lord. So I hope you can join us tonight. Thank you very much for listening, and remember, keep listening.